welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, we're going to go ahead this morning and get started in a passage of Scripture in the book of Romans, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. He says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed." Praise God. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy." Now you'll see they're highlighted, and that will make sense in a little bit. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Now, as he's talking about, you know, this day that we're living in here, I think it's poignant because just this day we're living in right now, we can see that there's a lot going on. I'm excited for what the Lord is doing in the earth. I'm excited for the return of the Lord. And, you know, Jesus said that there's coming a time when, you know, nation's going to rise up against nation. Paul said evil workers are going to wax worse and worse. It's going to be chaos. It's going to be dark. Jesus said when all this stuff begins to happen, to look up because your redemption draws nigh. He said men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of things coming upon the earth. You can see people moving and afraid and running around. They're just like in panic mode. He said, but you won't be in panic mode. He said, you're going to look up because your redemption is drawing nigh when things begin to happen. See, there's two kingdoms, and yeah, there's the kingdom of darkness doing dark things, but man, there's the kingdom of God's dear Son doing light, good, wonderful, awesome things, because Jesus is coming back for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. There's a glory-to-glory trajectory that the church is going in these last days. And as we see a scripture like this, it's kind of a wake-up call. Awake out of sleep, literally. Realize the time you're living in. These are epic times. And to make the most of it, that's why he's saying, let's walk properly. Why? We're living in these times where the night's far spent. It's time to get about it. And he says, we're not walking in revelry, drunkenness, lewdness, lust, strife, and envy. But he says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. You can see this sense of urgency in the spiritual wake-up call to be done with junk that's taking up your time, getting focused on what God is doing. Quite a call. Now, the way he says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. But you'll see before that, he kind of categorizes almost the flesh into these categories. Revelry and drunkenness, lewdness and lust, strife and envy. I'm kind of making note of it because later, when the Apostle Paul, actually earlier, because he actually wrote Galatians before Romans, but when the Apostle Paul writes Galatians, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." So in his writing to the Galatian region, he spells out even more specifically these works of the flesh. And you kind of see them in, I kind of see them in these three categories. You know, lewdness and lust in the yellow, just kind of how it expands out what he means. If he's talking about strife and envy, hatred, contentions, jealousies, murders, drunkenness, revelries. It's almost like these categories of flesh that we have to deal with. And the reason why it's important to look at this stuff is because a lot of times when we talk about the flesh, and last week we talked about possessing your vessel. We're talking about your body, your physical body, presenting your physical body. Paul said, keep it free from sexual immorality. Keep it right. And we said, why? You know, there is good works he's ordained us to walk in. There's purpose. There's call. He's given us this body to bring glory to God in the earth. So we found that there's purpose and reason for this physical body and to walk free and to live free from stuff. And as I was even ministering that sermon, I knew in my heart and mind, this would be like a part two to that message. Because when we're talking about walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, getting free from those pulls, a lot of times we think about that stuff that we talked about last week. I would call it almost the classic flesh, the top and the bottom part there, the yellow and the green. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, murders, drunkenness, revelries. We think, man, if I can just be free from that, I'm doing good. That's what it means to live for God. A lot of times that middle stuff, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts, arrest, we don't always necessarily consider that to be flesh. Those are our problems that we're working through. We don't call it out as flesh. Those are more complicated. I kind of broke it down like this so we can see it. Same words. I'm just arranging them. It's actually the same order. But you can see that there's this top tier and there's this bottom tier. And that little middle tier right there. Those are the things we're problem solving. We're called to put to death the deeds of the flesh. We understand we got to put to death the top tier. We got to put to death the bottom tier. But we try to problem solve the middle tier. And unless we call things out for what they are, we don't really deal with them scripturally. You might deal with them in a way that is contemporary with the church, but what does the word say? How do we deal with some of this stuff? A lot of times, too, we'll find that we use the top tier and the bottom tier to almost medicate the middle tier. But it's all flesh. It's all beatable. The promise of walking in the Spirit to not fulfill the lust of the flesh includes that middle tier. I'm not just free from the booze and the drinking and the revelries and all the classic stuff you think of. You're free from that inner turmoil stuff too. Walking in the Spirit makes us free from the lust of the flesh. In fact, I love how when you look at the scripture too, because we can look at this stuff and think, you know, and again, we're kind of religiously check the boxes. All right, I'm not, you know, I'm keeping myself, you know, sexually, and I'm not, you know, getting drunk, and I'm not, and so then you can kind of look down on people who are, but yet on the inside you're seething and tore up with bitterness and hatred. You got to climb up on the wagon right alongside the person dealing with the alcohol and the sex stuff. In other words, what does the Apostle Paul say? These are just works of the flesh. But they're all connected by one thing that the Apostle Paul says, the lust of the flesh. He didn't say, walk in the Spirit and you won't do the works of the flesh. He said, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All of these things have what we call flesh fractions. We're taking the works of the flesh, now we're turning them into math. I'm sorry, I know it's Sunday morning. Had your coffee, we had our 5-minute break. So you should be good for this. But when you get into fractions, there's common denominators. Whether you're dealing with adultery or envy, you got the common denominator of lust. They all have strong desire. And this is where we were talking about last week. It's easy to get into selective moral outrage. Preach on this and this and this. And they just happen to be the things you're not dealing with. But flesh is flesh. The Bible calls it all out. I'm believing God, by the Holy Spirit, to show us some things this morning to help uncomplicate some of our heavy middle-tier flesh stuff that we're dealing with. Do you know Jesus didn't say that my yoke is complicated and heavy. He said it's easy and light. It applies to the middle-tier stuff too. We've got to humble ourselves, but there's answers. This stuff is beatable. And sometimes the church looks past that stuff, and it's the very stuff that's holding it back from going to where God wants the church to go to sometimes. This morning we're going to talk about confronting the middle flesh. This is not a happy picture this morning. This is a picture of the frustration of middle flesh. It deals with people. It's conflict. It's the stuff that, okay, I'm not doing maybe some of that stuff we talked about last week, presenting my body. I got some of those big boxes checked, but there can be inner turmoil going on. That's just part of what the scripture calls flesh. And as we look at this morning, again, like last week, this is not about condemnation. This is not about finger wagging. This is about seeing some things. This is about seeing through some things. Because the enemy loves to take this stuff and beat us up with it. But God is going to, I believe, by the Spirit, show us, answer some questions we've had about this stuff, relationship stuff. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it sure feels like it. It sure seems like it. But when you see flesh for what it is, where all of a sudden you'd have to go off in isolation and be frustrated or given, you can say, wait, that's just flesh. I'm believing, Father, I believe right now in the name of Jesus that this morning you are going to open the eyes of our understanding in ways where we have been tricked by things, where we have been lied to by things, that we are going to see through things, and that we're going to take authority in the name of Jesus, and that we are going to go free from things. And we thank you for the promise of walking in the Spirit, that it makes us free from the lust of all the works of the flesh. And we thank you for that this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So let's go there together and let's see this. Conflict is the face of middle flesh. When you look at the flesh, first of all, I just kind of quickly did an overview of the flesh in general. These are just very quick little definitions. Adultery, this is non-middle flesh. This is the top and the bottom stuff. Sexual promiscuity related to marriage, fornication, any sexual promiscuity, uncleanness, can be sexual impurity, nudity, promiscuity, medias, different things like that that can get into our atmosphere that, you know, that can have that effect. Lewdness, sexual perversion, that's idolatry, natural object worship as a deity, covetous. This is where greed and food and all that kind of stuff can get in. We're just obsessing over something that's not God. Sorcery, this can, the actual word is pharmakeia. This can get where we get into drug addiction, where we're trying to take some things. You know, it's kind of a counterfeit high, where you're trying to take something in the natural to stimulate something, to create an artificial high or to alter your mind or something like that. Witchcraft, the sorcery, the spiritual side of that. Of course, you know, we understand that. And then murders, taking another person's life, drunkenness, intoxication. You get not wrong to drink, but just getting in that area where it's controlling you and you're intoxicated and you lose control. God, in other words, doesn't want us to lose control. He wants us to stay in control of our faculties. Revelries, drinking parties, we understand, and all that kind of goes with that. Again, this is kind of the checklist that we look at and say, am I living for God or am I not living for God? We kind of look at that list. All right, I'm doing pretty good, or maybe got to, you know, tweak some things here and there. But when we're talking about the middle flesh, the voice, the face of the middle flesh is conflict. When you look at this hatred, it's an intense dislike. Somebody did something to somebody that causes hatred. Contentions, it's continually contesting or quarreling or just constantly, you know, taking the other side and just to where it's, you know, you can't even communicate. jealousies, a rivalry for a person or a thing where there's a competitiveness there, creating strife, outbursts of wrath, the display of extreme anger, selfish ambitions, consumed with your own self-interest and welfare. It's just like all you can think about is your own world, self. That's where, you know, the selfishness comes in. Dissensions, disagreement. Of course, there's all can be different kinds of disagreements, but dissensions is disagreement that leads to discord. In other words, it's not just that, oh, we see things differently. We see things differently, and we're something's breaking over it. That's dissensions. Heresies, that would be a sect, political party. It's used, that's where there can be a group. A lot of times, this can almost be a form of group flesh in the sense that you can get a critical little group and a critical little sect, and you're better than everybody else, and all of a sudden you're having to play off this, and the flesh creates those little sect groups that people can feel controlled or judged by, different things like that. You're never measuring up, whatever that is. Envy, and that's where you're wanting what somebody else has. So these are some things where people are involved. I remember they were saying, you know, we heard that in, Bible school. Ministry would be so easy if it wasn't for people, you know. Just preach the Bible. And life is like that in general. But this is where we live. And we need to look at these things, this aspect of middle flesh. And a lot of times these will translate into narratives, stuff that's in your head, you know, something somebody did, and then you see something and it reminds you and you get stirred up, or there's somebody that you're always kind of having this argument with in your mind, and it's always this thing, you know, it can be a lot of stuff going on. Now, as believers, praise God, the Lord wants every part of our heart. And this is the greatest commandment of all. Jesus answered and said to him, somebody asked him, what is the greatest commandment? The first of all the commandments is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Now, I'm just going to tell off on me. I'm just, as a person who's endeavored to live for God and walk this out and do things like that, I'm looking at this. There's a reason I'm preaching this sermon today. Because this is where I've had to come face to face with some things in my life and stuff that I've had to work through. And, you know, like a lot of people, you just kind of look at the classic stuff and say, all right, I'm doing good. I'm a really good person. And the Holy Spirit is just showing me and saying, Ed, and I saw it like this once. It's like a game of Monopoly. I'm supposed to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. In other words, if my heart was a Monopoly board with properties on it, the ideal is that God owns all the properties of my heart. He's the Lord of all those properties. And as the Holy Spirit began to deal with me about middle flesh, I could look at my Monopoly board and say, you own that one, and you own that one. Come on, you own Boardwalk here. You own that big, you know, some of these big areas and some of these other areas that I just don't really consider because I just didn't realize it is flesh. And I'm yielding to flesh. As long as I'm not yielding to this flesh and this flesh, no, I'm going to love him with all my heart. I could see that there are some places on my Monopoly board that I still owned. I still owned some things. I still owned some narratives. I still owned certain bitternesses. I still owned some things where the enemy could just come along, suggest, and I'm off on that. I was just so joy in the Lord, and it wasn't, you know, the big classic stuff that got me off. It's this. It's this stuff. And then this stuff can drive you into the classic stuff if you're not careful, too. So this is the stuff that I just realized that, you know, I got to take this seriously. I got to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I got to call out flesh. that hatred and what they did and all this stuff. It's like, oh, man. We're going to get into some things a little bit here, too, in a couple minutes. But because we're called to forgive, we're called to pray, we're called to ask God direction, different things like that. That's all good. That's all right. But there's things that will linger in our heart that we'll let linger with the false idea that we're somehow problem solving this thing, and we're not. It's just flesh that needs to be put to death. But I just want to introduce you to the idea of middle flesh right here. The face of middle flesh is conflict. I know what my conflicts are, what they've been. You know what yours are and what they've been. Different faces and names, but it's common to man stuff. The feelings of rejection and pain and frustration and all that stuff that this stuff causes, it's real. This is the kind of stuff that twists, puts the knife and twists it in your heart and your mind. It's like, oh, how can I get past this? This is the stuff that'll make you feel semi-demon-possessed sometimes. Garden variety flesh that can be beat. I'm not living in some, ivory tower or some Pollyanna existence here. I'm just saying where the Holy Spirit's had to bring me back to. Call it out as flesh, Ed. It's not your complicated problem. You've got some flesh here you need to deal with. Because I've done that. No, this is my complicated problem. And 10 years later, it's still my complicated problem. Something's not right here. I'm on a treadmill. And I got my case for being here, but it's not scriptural. That's the face of the middle flesh. Now, accusation is the voice of the middle flesh. Constant accusation. What is it that the enemy does? I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come for the accuser of the brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. And they overcame him, that accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. What are the things that you find out about the enemy? The scripture says, your adversary, the devil, 1 Peter 5, who goes about as a roaring lion, what's he roaring? Accusations, seeking whom he may devour. My problems have kept me devourable. Petting my problems have kept me devourable. When I don't call out flesh as flesh, and it's something other than flesh that gets a pass, I'm devourable. That accuser, it's day and night and night and day. Have you noticed that? You'll go to bed with it, you'll wake up with it. You'll dream about it. Constantly. That to me triggers a little bell. That's not God. God doesn't do that. He is an accuser. The voice of the middle flesh is accusation, and it's in both directions. You feel accused as you're rehearsing some narrative that makes you feel rejected, or you're doing the accusing. And all of a sudden you find yourself, wait a second now, in your mind, this is wrong. Okay, got to back off here. What is this? This is the voice of middle flesh. It's accusative. It's constantly accusing. How do I get out of this thing? James gives us a great illustration of what this thing looks like. He who is wise and understanding among you, let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. If you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above. Isn't it interesting he had to say that? Why did he have to say, this wisdom is not from above? Because it feels like it is from above. You make the case that you've justified it. But it's earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Again, we're talking about middle flesh this morning. We're talking about stuff that we can give a pass to, and not treat like classic flesh. And we can stay in some of these states. It's our complicated problem. Again, I'm not going to get specific with you. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit get specific with you as far as what's what. I'm just bringing some light this morning to the fact that there is flesh here. And we've got to realize that we got to call it out for what it is. We can get off that treadmill. That wisdom isn't from above. And I've had that where I've literally called it out and said, Lord, you know, when I'm angry sometimes or you get that thought, I'll just say, because when I feel like it's from above and I want to stay there, I'll make myself say, Lord, is that you? Because I got a witness right here, but I don't got a witness in here. You've been there. And you can get frustrated with this. I want a witness here. You know, Jesus' disciples one time were insulted and humiliated, and they wanted to call down fire. And Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of, disciples. That wisdom is not from above. The Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Can we as human beings get fooled sometimes? Yeah, with our stuff. With our middle flesh stuff. Humbling. We have to realize God doesn't sound like that. The voice of middle flesh is accusation. That's not God's voice. That's not what he sounds like. We're going to kind of go in deep, and we're going to bring it around to some healing and restoration at the end here. But we gotta define what we're talking about. We gotta make sure that we're on the same page. Proverbs says, let your eyes look straight ahead, your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. I love that. Ponder the path of your feet. Somebody once put it this way: think about what you're thinking about. Be aware of what you're thinking about. Corinthians, the Apostle Paul, talking about the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. They're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I got to take my thoughts and say, is this flesh or is this not flesh? I'm pondering the path of my feet. I'm looking at where I'm going. And we as human beings, we can get off. And if you're pondering the path of your feet and you're walking and you know, put it this way, if you step in something, you got to take your foot off out of that something. And there's forgiveness and there's cleansing and you can go on down the road. But to realize that we've got to ponder the path of our, we've got to be aware of those things that we're thinking about and that direction that we're going. A lot of times people will kind of get into the weeds of, you know, is it the flesh or is it the devil as I'm dealing with this stuff in my head? Am I dealing with the flesh or the devil? Because you put to death the deeds of the flesh and you cast out the devil. You can't cast out the flesh and you can't put to death the devil. So a lot of times you're going, well, what is it? What am I dealing with? Is it this a really ugly, creepy demon or is it my flesh? Or let's simplify it a little bit. He said that wisdom doesn't descend from above. It's earthly and sensual and demonic. The most important thing when you're dealing with middle flesh is not the origin or the source of it at first. The most important thing that you're going to deal with is this flesh? Is this right? Is this exalting itself against the knowledge of God? Whether it's coming from a roar of the enemy or whether it's the law, you know, my own flesh, the law of sin and death, warring against the law of my mind. Either way, that thought is judged as a thought, regardless of the origin. And I'm saying, is this God or is this not God? We'll get to the origin in a second. But is this God or is this not God? And if it's not God, I'm rejecting it. And I don't accept it in the name of Jesus. And I don't have to have perfect clarity all the time. whether it's a demon spirit, whether it's my flesh, or whether it's coming from my flesh, I resist it and I make no provision for it, and I bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and I cast down that imagination. And whether it came at me from the outside from a demonic attack, or whether it came at me from the law of sin and death in my members warring against the law of my mind, I'm getting a little technical, but from your flesh, either way, I'm casting it down. I'm saying no. I'm not going to allow that hate and that envy and that strife and that bitterness to control me. This is flesh, and I'm calling it out. I remember one time when I was just taking a little walk one day, and I was walking upon something. It was like this little mound of something, and all of a sudden I could tell it was on the side of the road. It was roadkill. And it was covered with a bunch of flies. You know how it is, you kind of recognize it, and all of a sudden, I don't even want to look at it. I don't want to know what it was. You know, it's that gross. It's all covered with flies. And I remember just walking around it, and, you know, it's this pile of, you know, this meat, this animal, whatever, with all these little flies. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment. As it related to flesh, as it relates to the flesh and the demonic realm. He said, Ed, if you get the roadkill out of your head, you won't have to swat so many flies from your face. In other words, when we allow ourselves, when we make provision for our flesh, I'm not talking about being attacked or assaulted by, I'm talking about us with our own fruit. We choose to sow to the flesh. And we choose to set our mind on that stuff. We draw flies. That death, it makes you an easy target. When you say no, when you get that roadkill out of your head, those flies really don't have much to buzz around. All they can do is suggest. There's a part that we play. There's a part that we play in taking those thoughts captive and bringing them into the obedience of Christ. Finally, love is the death of middle flesh. There's a way to destroy that work of the flesh. And this gives us a fresh perspective on love and the power of love and what love can do. Again, these are the areas, the middle flesh, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, all that stuff. And all the yucky people and narrative things and that kind of stuff that we deal with, there's flesh there. Now, the scripture says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, make no provision for the flesh. Be angry, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in your wrath, nor give place to the devil. We know that whoever is born of God does not sin, but he who has been born of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. Now, we experience things. We can experience hurt. People can say things and do things. There's nothing wrong with being angry about that. There's nothing wrong with saying ouch when you hit your finger with a hammer. There's nothing wrong with feeling pain of offense. That's not the problem. I mean, we're human, we experience that. But don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. He didn't say, don't let the sun go down before you can solve the problem. He said, don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Yes, there's people involved. There's situations. There's things. There's communication. There may be things that may need to be worked out for months or weeks or years. But it's not what it's talking about. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. That has something to do with you. That's something that you can do, something to do with what you can do about a situation. It's not a sin to be angry. It's be angry and don't sin. Don't let it lead to sin. Don't let it go off into sin. Romans 8 puts it this way. Those who are motivated by the flesh pursue that which benefits themselves. Those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. He's talking about being spiritually minded. And this is some ground that we covered last week. How do we walk in the Spirit? It's choosing to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Now listen, I'm a problem solver. I love solving problems. I love fixing things. I'm a guy. I like fixing things. So yeah, I got that. And then I naturally like solving problems. So I like to try to go A plus B plus C equals D. I like to make things work out and solve. God heals things in a way that is not based on my eureka moment. I'll see things, but what I'll see are spiritual realities. Paul said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Why is it that I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh? So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all. We have no further obligation to live in obedience to it. We looked at this last week. When you live controlled by the flesh, you're about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death the corrupt ways of the flesh, then we taste his abundant life. When we're talking about the Spirit-flesh stuff, we have no obligation to it. In other words, as a Christian, if I see something that classic flesh, if it's, you know, some kind of drugs or pornography or stuff like that, I can look at that and know I have no obligation to that. All right, I know that. I'm a Christian. I don't have an obligation to it. Same thing with hatred and strife and bitterness. I have no obligation to it. An old narrative pops up. I have no obligation to it. I can put it to death. Now, the Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, this is where I want you to just see this. God does not problem solve our complicated middle flesh stuff. We are called to pray about it. We're called to supplicate. Lord, this happened. Give me wisdom. Show me what to do. Lord, I forgive this. I need help here. We talk about it. It's not that we're in denial or we're sticking our head in the sand about it. We're expressing our heart. In the meantime, there's a peace that passes our understanding that keeps our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And in the meantime, whatever things are true and noble and just and pure, lovely, whatever things are good report, if there's virtue, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Do you understand? This is a cold shower to the middle flesh. This is a cold shower to those narratives. A good one. The awake unto righteousness kind of a shower. You're in the middle of stewing, and all of a sudden, oh yeah, what's true and honest and just is it? Now, if you haven't prayed about it, pray about it. First things first, okay? I'm not saying if you haven't, you got to pray. That's first. But once you've prayed, man, I'm trusting God with this. I don't have the answer. I haven't problem solved it. I'm not trying to problem solve it. I'm just trying to walk in the Spirit. Why is that so profound? Because when you walk in the Spirit, something else happens. Walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We know the flesh lusts against the Spirit, Spirit against the flesh. They're contrary. You can't do the things that you wish. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. This is the fruit of the Spirit. You can't create a fruit. All you can do is plant a seed and tend it and create conditions for that seed to grow. This is deliverance to the middle flesh. Again, due diligence, we're praying, forgiving. But when it comes to overcoming that same old thing, because this is the problem. Maybe you do forgive and you get free and all of a sudden you see something that reminds you of something and stirs up that old hurt and you think and you come to the grand conclusions, ah, I thought I forgave that. I guess I didn't forgive that. No, you forgave it. You just got tempted to go back and stir it up again. There's no scripture that says once you've forgiven something that you never remember it again. Forgetting those things that are behind is a constant, active process of forgetting those things that are behind, keeping those things in the past, keeping it under the blood. But the fruit of the Spirit is something that grows and develops in you. I grew up on a strawberry farm. We took care of strawberries. We planted them, we watered them, nurtured them, and the berries grew. When you create this environment by faith, Lord, I'm casting down that argument. That's flesh. I've forgiven that. I'm not going back there again. I don't understand everything. I've asked you for wisdom about this already, so I'm not going to fear. I've asked you for direction. I'm going true, honest, just. I'm going to set my mind on those things. What am I doing? It's a greenhouse. For what? For bearing fruit of the Spirit. We can plant, we can water, but God gives the increase. When you walk in the Spirit, you are walking in an environment where fruit can grow. Because for me, I just want to be free from that narrative. Well, God wants you free from that narrative too. But God wants more than just to be free. He wants love and joy and peace. He wants the fruit of the Spirit to grow in your life. We're stronger than those things. Where you're not just free from those things, but you have peace where you didn't have peace before. Because you're walking in the Spirit, not just to get free from the lust of the flesh, but to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And it's in bearing the fruit of the Spirit that you go free from that. This is simple. This is basic. I would rather it be something complicated that I can figure out and da-da-da-da, ha-ha. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking with you, Father. I'm keeping my care cast on you. I'm forgiving. I'm asking for wisdom, but I'm walking in an environment where I'm trusting God. This is very true, noble, just, pure, lovely. Yeah. I'll tell you, it'll break things. It'll break your gaze off a bunch of flesh junk, not complicated problems, flesh. Right along with the alcohol and the sex, the booze, that, envy. It's right there in the same category. What is it? It's just calling flesh, flesh. Not giving the middle flesh a pass to be a complicated problem that I'm working out for the rest of my life, and it's like ankle weights and I can't quite. No, it's flesh, and it's beatable by the same Spirit that can beat everything else. Why? There's fruit that's developing in you. There's a fruit of joy and peace and longs and kindness and goodness. You can sometimes you walk in the sense like I'm changing. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind, but there's a spiritual growth that's going. You find yourself just joyful and happy, and what's wrong with me? No, it's what's right with me. When you begin to walk, there's a life and peace. I didn't problem solve that complicated middle place. I grew and developed the fruit of the Spirit to where I could see through it, and it couldn't play on me anymore. I put to death the deeds of the body. You can put to death that stuff. To where in the same way the alcohol, you could say, man, a year ago I would have been just all over that. Now I could just walk right by it. Same thing with a narrative, with an angry, frustrated narrative. That thing would suck me and I'd be better. I could just walk by and go, yeah, I can see that's flesh. You see through some things. That middle flesh is beatable is what I'm saying. But we got to be honest about what it is. And we got to call it out. We can't give it a pass. We can't glorify it. Just if you love scripture, it suffers long, kind. This is what love does. It doesn't envy. It doesn't parade itself, not puffed up. Doesn't behave rudely. Doesn't seek its own, not provoked. You can see how it's just the antithesis of middle flesh. Thinks no evil. Doesn't rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. Bears all things. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Love never fails. It's a fruit. And I'm just walking in the Spirit, and God gives increase to that fruit in me. And I find myself having qualities and characteristics that come from the fruit of love. It's not just a finger-wagging to-do list. It's just by faith walking after God, casting down that flesh imagination and going after God. Not problem-solving, going after God. No flesh can glory in His presence. Getting in the presence of God. There is no access for flesh glory of any kind of flesh, middle flesh, classic flesh, whatever. It doesn't glory there. And that's what's happening. I'm not trying to understand. I'm getting free because I'm growing up spiritually. I'm developing the fruit of the Spirit. These are some other scriptures in Colossians. Tender mercies, kindness, humility. These are the new man that we can put on. We remember that I'm a new creation. I intentionally put on that new creation. Let the peace of God rule in your heart to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Finally, James 3:17, the wisdom that is from above, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, it's willing to yield, it's full of mercy and good fruits, no partiality, no hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is the opposite of the demonic wisdom that is earthly, sensual, and devilish, and self-seeking. This wisdom, it's pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle. I'm letting the wisdom of God, I'm choosing that wisdom of God. So confronting the middle flesh, conflict is the face of middle flesh. This is the ugly people stuff that we don't like to talk about, we don't like to think about, we don't want to have to go there, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We can know that once we've prayed, forgiven, done what we're supposed to do what we know to do in our heart, that all that junk can be put to death by the power of the Spirit of God. That conflict. The accusation is the voice of the middle flesh. That's where it's constantly in your ear, whether you're getting it on the receiving end or whether you're on the giving end of it. That's the oxygen for the middle flesh. Accusation. When there's no accusation, when you give no place for that accusation, the middle flesh has to die. It has nothing to work with. Finally, love. Love is ultimately the death of the middle flesh. This is where I'm going after God. God, I want to get free from this junk, this stuff, but I'm going after you. I can't beat that, but I can grow in love. I can ask for wisdom. He can still show me wisdom and guidance and give me wisdom on things. I'm not saying that there's not still the wisdom of God, but I'm not obsessing over the missing link. Flesh is flesh, and when I recognize it, I give it no place. I make no provision for it. And I set my mind on things above, going after God, worshiping God, trusting Him, true, honest, just, pure, lovely. Yes, shutting that down. And that ultimately will bring about the death of the middle flesh. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for just the ministry of Your Spirit, the things that You want to speak, Lord, by Your Spirit. I just pray, Father, too, this morning that You just begin to show each one of us, Lord, areas of the flesh that we can begin to get victory over. Go ahead and make this a declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I want to be free from every work of the flesh, the law of the Spirit of life that's in Christ Jesus makes me free from hatred. It makes me free from bitterness, from wrath. I can be free. When those things come along, I'm not consumed. I'm not devoured. I resist them, steadfast in the faith, and stay in a place of life and peace, enjoying my life, not controlled by any narrative, but free indeed to pursue You. I love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that this morning. And again, just be aware that, Lord loves us in all this. We're all working. We're all growing. We're all overcoming different things in our life. But that middle flesh stuff, that invisible thing, that tension, those are the things that try to distract the beauty of our life with the Lord, each other. But this is all beatable stuff. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes us free from that law of sin and death in every situation. So, but we got to be honest with it. We got to call it out for what it is. So, praise God.